760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. My name is Josh Harris, and we are thrilled to be on this ride with you.
I'm thrilled.
Me too. Happy Monday.
So, well, yeah, so it's Monday. We're trying to iron things out here, right?
No, we are. We are. What a great weekend. And to start off this beautiful week, I am going to lead us in a prayer. How does that
wonderful
sound?
That sounds great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And I have a prayer here for the gift of knowledge. We know Pentecost is coming up, so let's start praying for these gifts to come down upon us. Oh, Holy Spirit of knowledge, enlighten my mind with the light of divine truth. Help me to see the hand of God in all creation, to recognize his presence in every moment, and to seek always the things that are eternal. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That is from Proverbs 1, verse 7. Grant me, Lord, a heart that desires to know you more deeply, not only through study, but through quiet contemplation, prayer, and awe. May the knowledge you give lead me to greater love and reverence for you. Help me to judge rightly between what is passing and what is everlasting. Let me not be deceived by the world's false promises, but hold fast to the truth that sets me free. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me with the gift of knowledge that I may walk in your light and live always in your truth. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we got to be praying for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was moving big ways this weekend.
Oh.
We, diaconate ordination.
Oh, tell us about it.
You went to that?
I did go to that. It was pretty awesome. I was scalping tickets outside, actually. So.
Did you make any money?
I made a lot of money.
Josh.
I'll donate a percentage of it to the Archdiocese. But no, in all seriousness, it was fantastic. Now, it's actually interesting because before I went down there, one of my friends called me and asked if I would be able to give the missionaries a charity, a few of them, a ride down there. Because I live right by them.
Yeah.
It's really cool, like within a couple of miles. So, of course, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to extend my stay in purgatory. So the answer is yes. And so I gave them a ride. It was, man, it was like the conference was like a mobile chapel. There's a holiness about these ladies.
Yeah.
But it was this particular... they didn't all go because some of them had work to do with the people they take care of, but two of them went. It was really cool. And, you know, I found it interesting on, like, the way there and back. There were times I was trying to make small talk, and we were talking, but then it just came to a lull, and they just were just, like, they were just praying. Like, most of the car ride, they were just locked into
prayer. I bet
prayer.
You were in heaven.
Wow.
Seriously.
It was very special, but it was also at the same time, like, you know, I was like, well, I got to keep these wonderful ladies entertained, and they weren't. Yeah, they weren't too interested in any of that. You know, it was. I mean, as wonderful as they were, I mean, it was definitely a deep holiness. And even when they paused for a second, well, I was like, I gotta fill the silence with something. You know, how often do we get there? Mm-hmm. And then I started to say something. They were like, "This is our midday examination of conscience."
I love it.
Could you please be quiet? And I was like, yeah.
They're like, join in, Josh.
Yeah.
Focus on what's going on.
But there's before pumping to the diaconate ordination, it's a reminder, you know, that sometimes the silence speaks the loudest.
Absolutely.
Right? We need to sometimes embrace that. About diaconate ordination, really moving. Again, I've friends with most of these. I mean, all these guys I would deem friends. Some of them I would say I'm pretty close friends with, or at least was back when I was in seminary. But just heroic souls, great guys, and it's amazing to see the joy that was just etched on all of their faces as they took this pretty, pretty major step towards Jesus. And the crowd was just thrilled, you know, especially when they turned around, everybody started applauding. I think the Atlanta members of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra were there, to kind of score the event. It was really, really powerful, very, very epic, and just thunderous applause as these guys walked out of the chapel or the church. And the line to get to them after was just huge. I may maybe cut a little bit because I had to. I was voluntold that we had to go by the Missionaries of Charity, so I just said,
"Be obedient."
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. It kind of reminds me of, as you're describing it, like at Mass when they baptize a baby, you kind of get teary-eyed a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminded me, was it that kind of a, was it a very emotional thing when they turned around? And
it, well, I noticed, for me, for some reason, I wasn't like emotional like that. I think I was probably more happy for them in the sense that you could see the joy etched on their faces. And I mean, it just didn't look like any of these guys had buyer's remorse. They were so thrilled as they walked out. I mean, it was like they were walking out on their wedding day, which they truly were, because they were. That's when they were signing on the dotted line and making the promise of celibacy, right? So
no going back now.
And so they're walking out. But I remember turning around in this. You know, I remember like the person in the row behind me. There, I saw someone getting, you know, wiping their eyes and.
I would imagine.
Yeah, it was really, really, really moving.
And I did. I saw posts on Facebook, and it just looked beautiful. And again, the gift that they are giving the church, you know, saying yes to serving. And this is the beginning.
Yeah, it was really cool. So keep those heroic souls in your prayer. Jacob Butts, Juno Lee, Sean Lee, and Eric Baylott.
Awesome.
Great, great men. Speaking of greatness, we have a great show lined up for you today. Our dear friend Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, is going to be unpacking today's gospel reading, followed by Chuck Persner, helping us get acquainted with St. Marcellinus and Peter, both martyrs. Do you want to know our memory verse this week? Well, here it comes. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, that the Father will send you in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. So I'm going to be taking away your cheat sheets, and you better have that word for word, everybody in this studio.
Josh, I don't think that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, how you're talking to
I'll
us.
I'll write it on my hand.
And filmmaker Oscar Delgado is going to be talking about, Catholic filmmaker, by the way, film The Face of Jesus, which is in theaters for one day only, tomorrow, June 3rd. But next, our dear friends Liz Young and Trini Siegel from PATH are talking about the upcoming Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, June 27th through 29th. Such amazing stuff they're doing, and this is going to be so moving.
Finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest.
I'm so delighted to have Liz Youngs here as well as Trini Siegel. They are both with PATH, and they are going to be talking about the upcoming Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, again, taking place on June 27th through the 29th. So welcome back to The Quest, Liz, and welcome, Trini.
Thank you.
Oh, this is great
to be here.
We are so glad you are here, because this is an important retreat that is coming up. So I want to learn more about it and to share it with everybody else here. So how did the Lord lead you both to this ministry?
Well, it was, gosh, about 26 years ago, and I was on my faith journey back to the Catholic Church, and online, I saw something about women that have had abortions, and I had an abortion. I knew that I was automatically excommunicated, but I didn't know enough that I could be, like, reinstated locally, you know. And I was very surprised when I saw that the Catholic Church had something to heal people that had abortions. And I was also surprised that there were other people like me, because I'd never heard anybody talk about it. So I thought, I must be the only one that is upset with what I did. And after I went on the retreat and I did a Bible study, I just immediately felt the Lord call me that this was the ministry wanted me to work in. And that's how I started.
Oh, that's beautiful. You felt the Lord tugging you. And then look at the Holy Spirit, the feeling of knowing that you're forgiven and that you are loved, and now you have a mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God.
We see God working all things together for good, right? I mean, have you seen God transform this heartbreak into radical purpose in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, before I came through healing, I never thought that I could. I mean, I couldn't even talk about abortion. I cringed when I would hear the word abortion. And I think one of the greatest evidences of my healing since I've come through my healing journey is, first of all, being able to talk about it, But second of all, sharing my testimony publicly, because it is one of the sins that I thought that was the unforgivable. And Satan held me down for too long. And once Jesus did his healing touch on my soul, it was life-changing and life-saving.
Yeah.
And I wanted other people. I know there's other people like me, like Trini said.
Oh, yeah.
And I want them to experience the same thing. So.
Yeah. And I think that's so beautiful because not only do you both become the most powerful evangelists for life, but then you equip others to become the most powerful evangelists for life.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a particular connectivity that you have that nobody in this room has in order, you know, that can spawn someone to make a choice that will, you know, save generations, right? And you guys are giving that gift to them through, you know, and that's, again, God turns all these breakdowns into breakthroughs. We're so grateful for y'all.
Well, and just knowing that there's somebody else out there that has experienced it, right?
Yes.
A lot of people probably think, oh, I'm the only one, and they live in shame and sadness, right? Or maybe even no sadness because they're just hardened from just the feel of it. So praise God that the Lord led you all to this. Because I can just see the joy in your faces. You guys are a delight. Yes.
We are the wounded healers.
Amen. Amen.
And we all are in some way, shape, or form.
So true.
Absolutely.
So true.
Yeah.
So, ladies, what is Rachel's Vineyard?
Well, Rachel's Vineyard is one of the healing programs that we offer for post-abortion healing. It's a healing three-day retreat, which offers an opportunity to examine your abortion experience and identify the ways that the loss has impacted you, and helps to acknowledge any unresolved feelings that many of us struggle with after abortion. Because these buried feelings can surface later and are symptoms of post-abortion trauma. And the retreat addresses the different stages of grief and provides a safe and extremely confidential place to grieve the loss of the child. So it's not like any other retreat in which you may have attended before, where you're going to sit there and listen to talks. It's very interactive and experiential, that is based in Scripture.
Beautiful. And again, knowing that it's coming from Scripture too, right? And again, we are forgiven, right? When we confess, when we share what has happened, and it's, a lot of ladies out there might not have done it intentionally, right? Somebody might have pressured them to have it. So you never know the situation. So praise God again for that beautiful ministry. So what does the name Rachel's Vineyard mean?
Well, the name Rachel refers to a woman in the book of Jeremiah who was weeping for her children. And then vineyard comes from, in John 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. So, same as at funerals and memorials, we seek to place our loved ones within the sovereign embrace of the Creator.
Yeah.
We seek images in many biblical passages where God speaks of restoring the barren vineyards to their fullness. And the following scripture reflects the same journey you'll travel in Rachel's Vineyard.
So, ladies, where can we get more information about this upcoming retreat taking place here in Atlanta?
Well, we hold three retreats a year.
Okay.
And this is our second one of the three for the year. And they can go to our website, which is healingafterabortion.org. All one word, or you can call our confidential hotline, which is 404-717-5557.
They're calling right now.
Yes, they are calling.
There you go.
The phone is going off the hook here.
I know.
Yeah, so that's how they can reach us. And again, we want to stress the fact that everything that is communicated to us is confidential, strictly confidential.
So if there's somebody out there that really feels like they need to go, but they're still, you know, on the edge, what would you say to them?
Trust the Lord. There's a reason that you're listening to this right now. That's what I would say.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful way to conclude that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just ask, but it may be just very quick, 10, 15 seconds or so. What would you say, like, are there a particular instance where you've just been floored by a transformation that's happened over these, or is just too many to count?
There's too many to count. I mean, you know, when someone comes on the retreat or enters into one of our healing programs, you know, there's just so much shame. But by the time they finish the retreat or the Bible study or whatever we have, it is, I mean, physical features are different.
Wow.
But not only that, but they're spiritual. You know, many of them come back to the church and, which is, or convert.
Yeah.
We've had many that convert to Catholicism. But
wow.
That's not a requirement, but it's a beautiful perk.
Wow.
So, thank you so much, Liz and Trini with PATH, and all you're doing for God's kingdom through Rachel's Vineyard, these amazing retreats, transforming hearts. We are so grateful for you. One more time, where did they go to learn more?
Healingafterabortion.org, or they can call at 404-717-5557. And I did want to say one more thing. PATH offers many different healing programs, not just the retreat.
Yeah.
So if someone's not ready for a three-day retreat, we offer many of our programs virtually. We have a mentorship and a Bible study. And so that's something to keep in mind as well.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Thank you guys so much for all you're doing. We are eternally grateful.
Thank you for having us.
On the horizon, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Marcellinus and Peter, both martyrs, followed by Catholic filmmaker Oscar Delgado talking about the new documentary film, The Face of Jesus, in theaters for one day only. Tomorrow, June 3rd. But next, our friend Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, helps us unpack today's gospel reading.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:19, and we are so delighted to have Kathy McCormick back. She is a parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta, and she is going to be unpacking today's gospel. Welcome back, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here.
How are you?
How are you?
Good.
I am great. How are you doing?
Oh, we are doing marvelous. Happy Monday. Beautiful, beautiful
Happy
day.
Happy Monday. Yeah, so let's get started. This is the Monday of the seventh week of Easter, and the gospel is John 16:29-33. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble. Take courage. I have conquered the world." And that's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is the end of the farewell discourse of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And so it's the final moments of teaching. I love this interchange. You know, the apostles think they got it down now. they think they have it all under control. You're speaking plainly now. We get it. You're God. And church fathers like St. Augustine say that, you know, the disciples are sincere in this, but still a little bit immature. They think they have everything under control, but they will be tested. Their faith will be tested. And Jesus knows this. And so he tries, you know, to take care of it by, you know, hopefully sharing the peace, you know. I feel like the Lord Jesus is trying to reassure them that even though they scattered, I'm not alone, because I would bet that they would feel guilty for running away. And I think I would.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I think after all of the, you know, the resurrection and recognizing all that happens afterwards in the Holy Spirit, everything, I think I'd feel bad for leaving him. But he's sharing that, you know, I'm not alone. I have the Father with me, which is also speaking to the divinity and the Trinity and so on. So I think that's an interesting thing. The other thing I think that Jesus is kind of, it's interesting. Is it a rebuke or is it an affirmation? Do you believe now?
Yeah.
Oh, like now you believe, you know, kind of thing. I think that he's just trying to say, keep it humble. You know, faith is a gift and it's a journey. And now you get it, but, you know, hold on to it and grow in it. I think that, you know, those are kind of some things to think about in today's gospel. What do you guys, what struck you?
So what struck me is, but I am not alone because the Father was with me. And I think he's always with us too, really. I mean, we
have access to Jesus and the Father at any moment when we are praying, if we just truly understood that and knew that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reminder that Jesus doesn't promise comfort, he promises peace, right? Despite, yeah. In this world you will have trouble. I wish he had swapped that word with some other things, you know. In this world you will
suffering.
Have
suffering,
riches, money, skills, yeah. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But trouble. But take courage, I have conquered the world. But however, I mean, we're in a broken world. It's a beautiful world, but a broken world. It's in those moments of trouble, though, we realize Christ commands the storm. He is above the storm. Peace be still is not just something he speaks to the waves, but something he speaks to our hearts if we turn to them in these seasons and moments of difficulty.
Yeah, I think, it speaks to faith under pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, we may feel confident in our faith, and then some trial, and we've maybe come through trials with the Lord and come out on the other side. Mm-hmm. I think that our life is full of, you know, deaths, little deaths and resurrection, mm-hmm. you know, dying to self or being totally helpless in a situation and all I can mm-hmm. do is pray, you know, those kinds of situations. And so, you know, we come out on the other side, look how the Lord took care of that. Well, then another trial comes up and you're like, and your faith is shaken a little bit. You know, what is our faith like under pressure? Do we recognize that we can always learn more about the Lord? That our faith is, we're never done. We're mm-hmm. never done growing deeper with the Lord. And I think that we need to kind of look at how is our faith under pressure. And I think after a while, even we don't realize our faith is under pressure because Satan is a sly one mm-hmm. and can get to us in very underhanded ways where we don't even recognize, you know. A sin of attachment. We don't recognize that I'm attached to my phone, that I, you know, I'm scrolling too much. The scrolling of death. They call it that for a reason.
Yeah.
Death scrolling, you know.
Yeah.
All those different things that, you know, quote unquote, seem harmless, but really they're a coping mechanism when really what we need to do is trust in the Lord, which is what he's calling us to. He's saying, you know, there's peace in me, Christ. The peace in Christ doesn't mean the absence of suffering, but the presence of God in it. Are we trusting? You know, trusting in the Lord leads to peace. Mm-hmm. And if you think about what the apostles are about to go to, they're about to see Jesus crucified. And the trust that they had in him is going to be shaken. Because, wait, this isn't what we expected. Mm-hmm. Now, when he rises again and they see him, you know, resurrected, then they start to get it. But we have the answers now. We know about the death and resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So do we recognize Christ's peace in the midst of suffering?
Do we
put our faith in that? And recognize that we are never alone. We are never alone. Go ahead.
And that sounds like a great takeaway, understanding that and truly pondering that every moment of the day.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that would be my takeaway from this. One, do I recognize that I can always grow deeper in faith with the Lord? I'm never done. Do I recognize that I'm never alone? As long as I trust in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with me, do I trust that? And if I do, I should have a fruit of peace. The mm-hmm. fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. I should have that underlying peace as I walk through my day or as I enter into any kind of suffering. So always grow in faith. You're never done.
Amen.
And maybe think it's fitting to close with this quote, I believe is from a 1986 speech in Australia from JP2. He says, "Do not abandon yourself to despair. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song."
Amen.
Thank
That's
you.
That's a great closing shot. Closing shot.
Yeah, that's what it is. Feels like, right? A shot to the heart. Thank you so much, Kathy McCormick from St. Thomas Aquinas. We are so grateful for your scriptural insights.
Always good to be with you guys.
Thank you. led a recent seminar titled Evangelization with the Families of Today and Tomorrow. The Holy Father urged both clergy and laity to be fishers of men. In a world hungry for spiritual meaning, he said, many people long for God, but never hear the invitation. Too often, modern media often promises, often offers empty promises, while faith gets privatized or reduced to rules. Pope Leo reminded us Christianity is first and foremost a response to Christ's love, an encounter with a person, not just a moral code. He stressed that it's not only bishops who must cast the net, lay people are needed too. You are called to reach couples, youth, and families who feel distant from the church and walk with them towards Christ. Pope Leo concluded with a prayer that the Holy Spirit will guide us in finding new ways to meet people where they are and help every family discover the joy of faith. Closing us out, we've got filmmaker Oscar Delgado talking about the new documentary film, The Faith of Jesus. It's in theaters for one day only tomorrow, June 3rd. Oh, and by the way, pop quiz, surprise, it's Monday Memes. Coming up next with Datter Up Dave Savage.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Mondays, Get Acquainted with the Sainted is sponsored by VerseBright.
It is 8:32.
We are with Saint Scholar Chuck Persner, and who do we have on the agenda today, buddy?
Oh, thank you, Josh. Optional memorial on the calendar today, June 2nd, as we commemorate and reflect upon the lives of two early church martyrs in Saints Marcellinus and Peter, a pair of men that we celebrate in tandem, as we do from time to time with the saints. Cosmas and Damian, Perpetua and Felicity are two such examples, and I specifically call to mind those two examples, those two pairings, really, because they too were early church martyrs, much like Marcellinus and Peter. Perpetua and Felicity lived about 100 years before them in the early 200s, while Cosmas and Damian were martyred about 15 years prior to today's saints. So let's set the stage here. We're going to go back to the year 304, an era we revisit with some regularity during these segments. Emperor Diocletian had begun to round up all members of the clergy. He forced them to offer sacrifices to the Roman gods or face imprisonment, torture, and ultimately death. And this era was appropriately known as the Diocletian persecutions. The exact number of believers who suffered martyrdom during this period, which mercifully came to a close around the year 311, is unknown, but it's safe to say that thousands of Christians were in fact martyred during this very dark time in our church's history. So today's saints, Peter and Marcellinus, were among the first Christians to receive the crown of martyrdom during this period. Now, although the biographical details of Marcellinus and Peter are largely unknown, we are certain that they lived and died during the reign of Diocletian, who in the year 302 changed what was a reasonably tolerant stance anyway towards Christianity and instead pursued a policy intended to eliminate the church from the empire. Diocletian and his subordinates ordered the burning of Catholic churches, their sacred texts, as well as the imprisonment and torture of clergy and laypeople. The goal was to force Christians to submit to the Roman pagan religion, including the worship of the emperor himself as divine. So he was really going off the rails here. And it was at the midpoint of this persecution, around the year 303, that a Roman exorcist by the name of Peter was in prison for his faith. And while in prison, tradition holds that he freed Paulina, the daughter of the prison keeper, a man named Artemius, from demonic influence by way of his exorcism prayers. Now, this demonstration of Christ's power over the demons is said to have brought about the conversion of Paulina, Artemius's wife, Artemius himself, and the entire household, all of whom were baptized by the Roman priest Marcellinus. So here again, we see these two men working in tandem to baptize and evangelize. After this, both Marcellinus and Peter were called before a judge who was determined to enforce the emperor's decree against the church. When Marcellinus testified to his faith in Christ, he was beaten, deprived of food, and placed in a dark jail cell filled with shards of broken glass. So this is tough, tough environment for him to have to try and survive. Peter was also returned to his confinement, but neither man would deny Christ. They opted for death over submission to the cult of this pagan worship that was starting to spread. After their arrest, Marcellinus and Peter were likely given a sham trial, found guilty, and then offered the chance once again to gain their freedom by burning incense to the Roman gods. This was a typical chain of events for those who were captured and persecuted during this time. Clearly, these two men were going to have nothing to do with that. And while they were in prison, they preached the gospel to other prisoners and jailers. It was arranged for the two men to be executed secretly in order to prevent the faithful from gathering in prayer and veneration at the place of their burial. Because, again, they were becoming more and more popular amongst the people, and the effort to squelch Christianity was still growing and growing. Their executioner forced them to clear away a tangle of thorns and briars, which the two men did, doing so cheerfully and accepting their death with joy. And I can't help but think of Jesus here and how he too was called to carry his own cross, his own instrument of execution. These men were forced to clear the plot of land where they would ultimately be executed. Both men were beheaded in the forest and buried in the clearing that they had made. The location of the saints' bodies remained unknown for some time until a devout woman named Lucilla received a revelation informing her where the priest and exorcist lay. And with the assistance of another woman, Firminia, Lucilla recovered the two saints' bodies and had them reinterred in the Roman catacombs. And it was actually Pope St. Damasus I, who was himself a great devotee of the Church's saints during his life and is really known for promulgating their biographies, composed an epitaph to mark the tombs of the two martyrs. The source of his knowledge, he said, was actually the executioner himself, who had subsequently repented and joined the Catholic Church. And wow. I think, Josh, you have those words.
Yes, this is really inspiring. So this is the epitaph written by Pope St. Damasus I. Here lie the bodies of St. Marcellinus, the priest, and Peter, the exorcist, who, by a marvelous inspiration, with the help of the Lord, have brought many unbelievers to the knowledge of the true faith, have taught them the commandments of the law, and, at last, by the command of the impious tyrant, have deserved to be crowned with the palm of martyrdom.
Yeah, great words. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, and etched by a pope, so that's a pretty ringing endorsement right there.
It is. It's really cool. You know, Pope Damasus I, who is now Saint Pope Damasus I, serving as pope from the years 366 to 384. You heard the story of the martyrdom of Saint Marcellinus and Peter as a young child, and as mentioned, it was told to him directly from the mouth of one of the executioners who later became a Christian. So here we have a future pope, and a great one, I might add, who was inspired by these two early martyrs. We celebrated his feast day. We talked about him, in fact, on December 11th, and he used his papal office to promote them and teach others about them. And we know that Saints Marcellinus and Peter are the patron saints of those who suffer from plagues and infectious diseases. They are also associated with healing and protection against pandemics. Mm-hmm. So they've been called upon in recent times, of course, in light of what we went through with COVID. They are among the saints called upon by name in Eucharistic prayer number one, which mm-hmm. is a great privilege, placing them in the company of giants of our church, really. We get the apostles, John the Baptist, St. Lawrence. We get the early popes in that prayer, Lawrence, Cletus, Gusagonus, Sixtus, Cornelius, so on and so forth. So we get all these great saints and, of course, the virgin martyrs. So two great saints today, two early saints, and grateful for these men.
Yeah, and I mean, this is such an inspiring story. Even in prison, they converted, I heard, the jailer and many others through the faith. Through their faith in joy and conviction and witness, right? So it's a story we see. It looks like I'm in exactly the wrong place at exactly the wrong time. You could look at St. Paul with being in prison, and then he pens a large chunk of the New Testament there.
Yeah. And the other St. Peter, he evangelized while in prison because he was in prison a number of times, St. Paul. Those are the two I thought of as I thought of these two men evangelizing in the jail cell in what would be the waning moments of their life.
Yeah, and their relics were placed in the catacombs of St. Tiburtius on the Via Labicana, which became a pilgrimage site.
Yes, this after they were discovered again through that divine revelation, that woman named Lucia.
Yeah, it's so cool to see that. You know, people are faithful, and then they die in this tragic fashion, and it looks like it was all a waste, and yet so much more good comes from it than had it never happened at all. That is a heavenly transaction rate.
Yeah, and God takes care of every detail to the end. He even allows us to locate their relics so we can venerate them to this day.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Yeah, Saints Marcellinus and Peter.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
Yeah, look at those new tunes. Come on.
I love it.
Switching it up here.
Nice. Dave played all these instruments for us in his little studio and mixed it together. No, I didn't play them, but he did mix it. Sounds great.
Well, it's Monday, so what do we have?
Monday memes. Could be silly, could be inspirational, could be anything in between. You just never know what the Monday
you just
memes.
Never know.
If by crunches you mean the sound bacon makes when you eat it, then yes, I do crunches.
Oh, Dave. Oh, my gosh.
And that's a good one because I just started walking again in the morning.
Yeah, so. There you
wonderful.
Go. I mean, yeah,
go
some people want some people working on a six-pack, others on a keg, right?
Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, that is it's deep, deep.
I'm ready to be inspired.
Here's a quote from St. John Paul II. In that little host is the solution to all the problems of the world.
Amen.
Yeah, that's
amen. Body of Christ.
So true, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
You can't argue with JP2. And by the way, just to reiterate the last quote we shared, he said, do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song.
Amen.
He had some good ones, didn't he?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. We could do like a whole show just on him.
We could do a whole season just on him, man.
When older people say enjoy them while they're young, we're not talking about your kids. We're talking about your knees and hips.
Oh, my gosh. That's true. Yeah, my parents, they're having some hip and knee issues. So
my sweet mama's had 4 hip replacements.
Oh,
really?
My gosh.
The replacements have been replaced.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what was interesting, though? She at one point, it was kind of like it was sort of bone on bone. They didn't know, is she going to walk again? I think after the 4th one, they went to this special place for prayer. Anyway, special prayer group. She goes to the doctor and he says, I want to show you something. This never happens at your age. There was bone regrowth in this area.
Wow.
And she's able to walk.
Praise God.
Yeah, pretty cool story.
Oh, my gosh.
Very cool. Let's close out on a quote from St. Mother Teresa. And I checked it out. This is actually a quote from her.
Okay. Yes, great.
I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. Mm. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things.
Oh, beautiful.
Man. Isn't that something?
That is prophetic.
Yes. And it's so true.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to, when you're praying, you've got to think, put yourself in that mindset, you know, to just change me so I can be the change.
And let me know what I am supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a beautiful prayer.
Yeah. And if you ever get the chance to read her biography, boy, oh boy, is it so, so moving. The amount in the years of desolation mm-hmm. and heartache this woman was going through for feeling disconnected with God and still radically persevering in the call that he gave her, despite how she felt. So, so, so inspiring.
Amen.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:47 and we are joined by filmmaker Oscar Delgado talking about the new documentary film The Face of Jesus in theaters for one day only tomorrow, June 3rd.
Welcome to The Quest, Oscar.
I'm very excited to be here. How are you guys doing?
We
a beautiful
are doing,
morning.
Ah, it is a beautiful morning. We are doing great. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, yes. Happy Monday. So, yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for having us on. So, tomorrow is a big day for us, the Face of Jesus. It's a documentary that traces the shroud, the face in the shroud, the Divine Mercy image, and Marapella. We put it all together. And we say, wow, this is interesting how it's all connected. And it's really brings the viewer everywhere in terms of like seeing all the connections. And so we're really excited. It also talks about the devotion to the Holy Face that produced the bonus features and talk a little bit about the devotion there. So we're just very excited. It's unfortunate it's one day, but that's what we're given, you know, for the theaters everywhere in the United States in terms of like close to 1,000 theaters. So we're really excited about that.
That's a big deal. It's a lot of theaters.
No, it absolutely is. You know, Oscar, I know you've been involved with many different Catholic movies, powerful Catholic media projects. But, you know, when you heard about The Face of Jesus, you know, what made you say, I need to be a part of this? What was it that really inspired you to want to get involved?
Well, I love the shroud. You know, I always think that that's like a testament to the resurrection. And so I was very intrigued about that. I was also very much involved in the Divine Mercy message and devotion. And when they connected both those things together, I said, oh, I need to be part of this. And so then when they came to me and said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I would like to do something connecting these as they did in the film. But what I'd like to do is go a little bit deeper and talk about the devotion to the Holy Face. And they also did something.
Oscar, are you there with us, buddy? Hello?
We may have lost Oscar.
Oh.
Oscar.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we got
you. I don't
know
what happened here. You got me. Don't lose me. I just got here.
We are not going to lose
you.
Even
if we lose you, Jesus has you in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
So. Amen. Thank you. No, I was going to talk about, see what happens when you start talking about Jesus, things get a little crazy,
I
right?
Know.
So, yeah, that's mean you're doing something really good.
So then I decided to, with the image, if you look at the poster and your listeners can go up and look at it, you'll see the face of Jesus. What I did is I have this really, very gifted Brazilian graphic designer. I said, look, I want to show in one shot, because we're talking about the face of Jesus, both the humanity and the divinity. So you look at the image and it's divided in half. You could see like the crown of thorns on the left and his resurrection on the right.
Wow,
and it's something kind of like people couldn't believe it. It's like, well, if we're going to talk about the face of Jesus, we need to show his humanity and his divinity in one shot. So that really has taken off, and people are putting on t-shirts. I just can't believe it. So I'm really happy about that, and going deeper into the devotion to the Holy Face. So all that comes out in the film. And again, it's for one night only, tomorrow at 7, again, across theaters. So if you have relatives in different places, let them know. We're very excited about it.
That's amazing. And yeah, definitely give that designer a raise. I've seen that picture. It is riveting. So, so moving. And we're talking about a film, by the way. You mentioned it's only in theaters for one day. So why do you think this is a must-see, you know, in that moment and not wait, not, you know, versus waiting to stream, right? I mean, there is, again, something about our Catholic camaraderie that I think makes it especially poignant when we check it out the day of. But what are your thoughts?
Well, yes, we have to take on the culture, guys. I mean, I always say that St. Paul would be a director if he came back. So we're trying to get, and you're in that movie theater, you're seeing it on the big screen. It just really is a whole different feeling and being able to like experience the faith in that circumstance. It's just, and with your other community, and it's just everybody together. And that's why, I mean, looking at a phone or it's just not the same, but in with the other people looking at our faith and deepening it, I think, is a unique experience.
Yeah.
Said, go to the theaters. Go to the theaters.
It's the reason we don't Zoom Mass on Sundays, right?
Correct.
You got to experience,
exactly.
Right? The sacraments can't be digitized, and same with poignant experiences like this.
You know, so Oscar, without giving too much away, what's one scene or message from the film that gave you chills or just left you speechless?
Well, I think what made me, like, just really was riveting is the connection, the face. If you put the face of the shroud with the face of Divine Mercy, you're looking at they match perfectly. And you're like, wow, how did that happen?
Wow.
How did that happen? So that's one of the things that it's just like, if you love Divine Mercy and you want to just, I think you're going to be riveted for this as well.
That's amazing. You know, this is such a important message you're sharing, especially in a world full of chaos and noise. With that in mind, what does the face of Jesus offer spiritually to someone who might be feeling lost or disconnected in today's society?
It offers hope. You know, we live in a world which is just always giving us reasons for despair. And when you look upon the face of Jesus, it gives us hope. It gives us peace. Gives an idea of why we need to continue to persevere all around us. I mean, look what happened terrible in Colorado yesterday.
Yeah.
And look at all the things. That's why it's really important to go back into our faith and focus on the Holy Face of Jesus. Focus that we're going to get through this. But that's what, at the end of this documentary, I think people will come back and walk out the theater, say, with a renewed hope and understanding of why we need the face of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So what would you say to someone who's never seen a faith-based film before? Why should they start with this one?
Because there's a lot of science in it. You know, talk about the Shroud. You know, it's a fascinating, even if you're not, you know, faith-based, or and you, there's a lot of different things in there that you'll find very interesting, especially in terms of the research on the Shroud. And, you know, the Marapello, we also talk about the second image that is unexplained, the covering of the face of Jesus and Marapello. So there's a lot of science in there that I think is also fascinating for those that don't have a faith-based background, but would find very interesting.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And, you know, just lastly, what do you hope people will walk away with after seeing the face of Jesus? And why is June 3rd the day to do it?
Well, a renewed fervor in their faith. I think that when they walk out, they say, wow, we are really part of something really incredible. And we really want to just double down. You know, I think that's, for me, the message is when you walk out of that theater, I'm going to double down in my beliefs and my faith. I'm going to really hunker down to do what's necessary so that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit and go forward.
And, you know, I actually do have something else I wanted to throw out there, Oscar. You know, we know this isn't just a film. You know, it really feels like a spiritual invitation. So if there's someone on the fence, what would you say to them right now to encourage them to come out there and be transformed by watching this beautiful film?
Well, I mean, we need to do something to combat our culture, right? So if you see this film, it gives you kind of ideas about how to be able to navigate what we're dealing with. And the increased secularization is not good for anybody. And so this gives us an idea of going through this film, looking at it and coming out and saying you're armed with facts about the Shroud, you're armed with facts about the Divine Mercy message and devotion. And I think that's going to help you with those people that are kind of on the fence and encounter others, your neighbors, your friends, when they ask you about your faith, you have another element, another tool to help you navigate and go forward with it.
Amen. Thank you so much, Oscar Delgado, filmmaker, talking about the new film, The Face of Jesus, in theaters for one day only, tomorrow, June 3rd. Please go see it. I believe it will be major soul food in a time where we need it the most. Thank you again, Oscar, for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I very much appreciate it.
We're grateful for you, buddy.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Well, that was awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
It just sounds like an amazing movie. And I went to the last one, you know, Carlo Kudis. I am going to go ahead and get tickets to go to this movie. Mm-hmm. And on our show notes, we will have a link where you can go actually, you know, get your tickets. And it's in many theaters throughout the metro Atlanta area.
What did you say, 1,000 screens? Something like that?
I think he did throughout mm-hmm. the country. So mm-hmm. again, like he said, parents, grandparents, friends, anybody out there in other states, share this message. Because I don't know if
Catholic or non-Catholic.
Absolutely. Because it's all about Jesus.
And that's interesting because it's in theaters, not just for one day, but I think it's one day the same time all over. Am I correct? Isn't 7 o'clock?
He said 7 o'clock, so that might be the case. So we can all be watching it together at the same time.
Amen. That's super duper cool. Well,
no, it is.
Definitely check that out. And let's just pray for the success of more Catholic media in general, mm-hmm. right? These people are taking a big risk to get an important message out in theaters. Not cheap, not easy to do, and yet they're doing it.
We need to support that.
We do Amen. Need to support that. Amen. All right, people. We will see you tomorrow, same place, same time. Unless I said something bad on air that I regret and find out later. But hopefully I didn't. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.
Amen.